Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast with Monday Marler. What's up, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
Please remove the Vaseline from your camera lens here. Some ricochet. Oh, Andy's flashing a hair already. You did just
nice
get
and
done.
Showered, ready to go.
Oh, clean up your act for this show. How you been, buddy?
I've been good, man. Been good. Can't believe the season's ending tonight.
Who's
that
winning?
That sucks. Indiana.
What?
Indiana's good, man.
Good at sucking.
Kirk Dignetti. You know what I mean? Huh? Am I right?
You're not giving Miami any shot here with their talented offensive and defensive lines and Carson Moneybeck?
I think it'll be close in the beginning. I think Indiana will score first. That's my best bet. I think Miami's defensive line, I think, will be good. I think they'll be good and they'll keep it close early. I just don't know how they're gonna score and score consistently. So
well, you've always had that problem, but all right. So looking at
he's talking about sex.
Looking ahead to 26.
Oh, is this your stupid power rankings?
Boom! Not stupid. I've updated them just for you because you said you've always hated them. So trying to pretty them up at least, and I still can't even get a thank you for that. But what's your main takeaway here?
What do you mean try to pretty them up from your graphic?
Yes.
The fonts are all fucked up still, Mike.
Oh, I didn't change the fonts.
Stop making Mississippi State and Oklahoma cream and gray. We have so much to talk about. So much to talk about. I can't do this with you. I hate that you have Ole Miss at number one, and I don't understand why. Explain that to me first and foremost.
Well, they got the best quarterback in the conference. They got the best running back. They got Portal Pete. He's damn near
Who's their
undefeated.
Running back? Ole Miss. Lacy? I was thinking Oklahoma for a second. Yeah, I mean,
so you can't even get your teams.
I know. I only have like eight of them to cheer for, too.
Situated. Got a bunch back on the offensive line. I like the staff continuity.
Yeah.
That they've got. I don't know. I think Ole Miss, they're going to play with a chip on there. I mean, everybody counted them out, right, when Kiffin left?
Yeah. Hair looks good, by the way. It's a good haircut.
They seem to get better without Kiffin.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I also think that they are I think that they, you just brought up continuity, staff continuity. They have a new offensive coordinator.
Golding's been there before.
Sure. I think Golding has done a good job. I think that like that's very obvious. He did a really, really good job at the trying to navigate all the chaos that was happening after Kiffin left.
Mm-hmm.
I think my biggest thing is Pete Golding going to be able to be a good coach or a good enough coach to get them to like 10 wins or 11 wins like Kiffin was able to do? That part I don't really know about. Thank you, ma'am. Alex says hello.
Hello. He was just talking about
the schedule. The schedule is really manageable, though. I mean, Georgia at home, Oklahoma on the road, Texas on the road. To me, that looks a lot like 9-3 is the ceiling. And 8-4 is probably more realistic. I don't think they beat Oklahoma. I don't know why they got to go to Oklahoma 2 years in a row. I don't know how the fuck they only got four true road games. That's pretty stupid. and then at Texas, obviously, that's a tough one.
LSU, easy win.
Where's their bye week? Is there only one bye week next year?
Yes, sir, after Florida.
They took their bye week after Florida and before Vandy?
Yeah.
Fucking top-notch job there with the scheduling here, folks. Yeah, I think they're going to lose to LSU rather spectacularly if you catch my drift. The haircut I can't get over your haircut. It looks fantastic right now.
Well, I'm going on Feinbaum. I had to get the do done here. But how can you know what Kiffin's going to put on the field?
I think we've watched what Kiffin has put on the field the last 5 years at Ole Miss. This might be a more talented roster than he's had when he was at Ole Miss. That's for one. I mean, walk me through it. Tell me the more talented roster. I would maintain that the more talented Ole Miss.
Have you ever heard of an offensive and
year.
Defensive line, Chris? Are those important in the Southeastern Conference?
They are.
Have we seen evidence of anyone just patchworking an offensive line together and excelling?
No, that part I agree with. And I don't think they're going to get Jordan Seaton. I'm not hating on Ole Miss. I'm telling you what I think of their school. I was all on
board. Yeah, don't
board
be a Neil.
Thing. That was wild. It's so bizarre to me that you can't just fucking say, if you don't say something that's like overtly and like glowing about a certain school, it's like, well, this guy's on, he's biased, obviously. Like, no, we're not hating on Ole Miss. Do you think Ole Miss is the number one team in the fucking SEC?
Yeah.
No, that's asinine. I love you, Mike. But that's dumb as shit. There's no chance. You're telling me with a brand new head coach, a brand new offensive coordinator, Trinidad Chambliss is going into his eighth year in college and his second year playing in the FBS. The book.
Oh, yeah. He's just going to get better. You're right. He's just going to get better.
He's losing a lot of talent around him at the skill positions. They are going to lose Prince Will Umanlio. There's still at least one more player that I think might bolt off that roster that has already signed a contract, from what I was told. I think.
You know, they added players too, Chris. How about that?
So did LSU, and so did Texas, and so did – I tell you, I think is going to face the least drop-off of it of anybody from where they were this year to last year is Texas A&M. Texas A&M went into the portal and did a really, really good job of hitting some really key areas of need, I think, on that on the offense especially, and the offensive line, the receivers, and that entire scenario. That has not been – oh, that's a tough schedule to close. Jesus Christ, who's making the schedules? Never mind.
They get the bye after Bama for some reason. That's you'd rather have that before.
Yeah, I don't. What? Why would they? Who's playing football on the 26th? By the way, the 26th. I'm sorry, the 31st, because that's Bama's off, LSU's off, and A&M apparently is off too.
Right, and they, at least strategically, they got Citadel before Bama, so there's that.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I will always do the same thing when it comes to talking about the SEC, and I will start every year by saying Georgia's the team to beat as long as Kirby Smart's the head coach. Not a team that went and did a lot of damage in the portal, not a team that really needed to either. And for the second year in a row, I think.
Are you talking about the guy that Portal Pete pistol whipped?
Portal Pete pistol whipped.
That was just fun to say.
Can't handle the cussing every other word. Then go fucking listen somewhere else.
Get out of here, you cusso. Yeah, you know, I'm talking to you, Chris.
Yeah, that's fine. I can go take the dog to the park. I'm here on a fucking bank holiday, so you guys can suck it. I don't know how to tell you this, man. I'm not gonna change the way I talk just so you feel better because bad words are flying. Are you in the car with your kids? No, you're watching a YouTube channel on fucking Monday afternoon at 2 p.m., you degenerate.
Well, this is on Sirius XM now, too. We're streaming via Sirius XM. shout out Chase Moore. Sources say Mizzou stealing quarterback Graves and receiver Lee from Ole Miss. Heard it here first.
Ooh. I have not heard that about Lee. I've heard Lee's going to end up in Baton Rouge or Athens. So I have not heard that. But maybe. You never know. I mean, the portal's crazy, man. It's like, dude, I was so excited for it to be closed on Friday. I was like, yes, it's finally closed. I actually said it's finally fucking closed, and I went and grabbed myself a fucking drink. Martin Luther King Day. So I was like, I was all excited for it, and then I went and did some research, and all I found out was it's not technically closed until fucking Wednesday.
Right. Because of the holiday.
It's more proof that there's just no rules in college football at all anymore. It's so stupid.
Should there be?
Yes. Here's what I don't understand, Mike. If you're saying the portal closes on January 16th, that Friday at midnight, I will tell you just from like having to cover it, it's fucking miserable because it's nonstop and it's all these fucking kids entering, withdrawing, entering again, like signing at different schools. I don't know how Phil Steele makes a fucking magazine still. Like that part I don't get. So that part to me is annoying, to just trying to follow along with it. The other thing that's really frustrating to me is if you are saying it closes on Friday at midnight, it's closed, and then you're like, oh, by the way, you have two days to process any of the names. And it's like, okay, so Sunday? And like, no, two business days. Because, you know, that phrase is constantly just thrown around all loosey-goosey in the world of college football. A sport that's primarily played on a non-business day. And so then you're like, well, okay, so I guess Tuesday, they're like, but nay, there's Martin Luther King Day. So it's not until Wednesday. It's like, just fucking say Wednesday. Or like, or make the window the 2 days the cutoff on the like. Just give me stop making me jump through hoops to understand how fucked up this entire sport is at this point.
Shout out Ken. He says this is like Festivus, Money Marler airing his grievances to the world.
That's very, very true. But, I just like, listen, we're all fucking adults here. If you don't want me to cuss or you want to hear me cussing, just go fucking listen somewhere else. This is an hour where I can say whatever the fuck I want, and I'm gonna do it. And another thing about Somalian fraud.
Well, when I asked you that question, I was meant more like, so allegedly. I don't even know if it's true. I don't even know if it's true, but I think it's been pretty well documented that LSU was trying to get that Washington quarterback, Damon Williams, right?
Yeah.
And the Big That's Ten wild. Essentially stepped up and said, no, in a sense. You know, I know it's kind of convoluted, and he signed his revenue share, and that was kind of the issue, and there was going to be a massive buyout, yada, yada, yada. But why is the SEC not doing something similar?
People listen to Mike, not Marler. This guy's unbearable. Go somewhere else. Mike does like 8 shows a fucking day. Come back for the 7 o'clock. You just miss the matinee, brother. Just miss the matinee. God, fucking thin skin. Anyway, so I think the thing with Damon Williams, honestly, I think that was a step in the right direction. I think it was the best thing that could have happened with the entire sport, because like you sit here and I get so frustrated with this whole thing where it's like, there are no rules. No shit, dude. No shit. What?
Like, say, no one's you arguing don't set the rules, that. Marler.
What? Anyway, so you got to explain how guests work on your show now. I mean,
Rage like, Bait Monday. That's what we're changing it to. Marler reads the comments Monday.
V. McIver said, I get real serious about lines. Which is
they said,
funny.
I bet Marler even talks in church.
My mom's a pastor. Of course I do. I got to get out of jail free card. So, no, I think the thing with Williams, it was a good thing for the sport overall, because what it ends up meaning is, yes, also a good point. So I think them like you signing a contract, which is like the oldest way besides a handshake to say, hey, this is like binding, this is we have an agreement, this is my word, and this is what we're doing from now on. And so I go to church. What the fuck are you talking about?
This is the best one. Razor.
Not my best defense.
Marler, turn around, read the wall, then do it.
That's a good point. So I think that with the Big Ten stepping in, it was weird because we hadn't seen that before. But if you're telling me if you're Washington and you gave this kid that I don't know if anyone I don't mean this in a bad way, and I'm not even trying to make a statement. I'm just trying to tell you where we are in the world of college football. A couple years ago, Matt Rhule said it's going to be $1 million, $1.5 million to get a starting quarterback out of the portal. And we were like, oh, my God, that's crazy. Last year, Carson Beck got 4. Jalen Milroe was reportedly offered 4. He probably should have taken that. Lenore Sellers was offered 4. I think that was Duke that was probably doing most of his offers. And then you talk about Miami getting back for $4 million. Now that has jumped up to 5 in some cases. And then this is a kid who again, not making an indictment on who he is as a player, how good he is. I'm just saying, if we all love college football, we watch college football, and I know we don't watch the Big Ten as much, but I don't know if most people would think that this is a top 10 quarterback in the country. I don't know going into next year if he would be listed as a top 10 quarterback. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. But that kid making $4 million at 19 years old or however old he is, and then signing that, and then a day later, not a week, not like, oh, well, some other things came in. Like a day later, you're on the phone with Kiffin. While Kiffin is at Stab Steakhouse, which is lovely, we went there on Saturday, and like whining and dining another quarterback, Sam Levitt, like that just shows you how broken the whole thing is, because it's like everything's up for grabs. There's no part of giving your word clearly means shit at this point, but also if signing your name doesn't hold you accountable to having to stay anywhere, and it's not just there, it's I mean, Michael Smith, the former South Carolina kid that went to Syracuse and then was going to come back to South Carolina, but like that's a kid that sat out after 4 games the whole year because he was going to try to like make sure he didn't avoid a red shirt. And then now that's a new rule that they're probably going to bring into effect. Like the red shirt rule going from 4 to 9 games. It's just, the sport is just, there's so many like flaws that it's always had, and they've created even more. And I wish that they would just do like just one thing, Mike, like just this offseason, say, hey, we're going to stay at 12 games. We've made the decision. The Rose Bowl is going to be where the national championships played. Or like, we're going to make sure that the national championships on a Saturday, like just anything that the fans have actually asked for and the consumers of your product have actually asked for, and unless it's cussing, and doing those things. And that's what is so frustrating to me.
Hey, shout out to Carl Junkins. Appreciate you, buddy. He says, Marler dropping facts, piercing virgin ears. I'm here for it. Football with Jesus is a different podcast.
That's right.
Devo got a podcast.
That Jesus podcast.
Hey, shout out to Chase Money Moore.
What's up, disciples?
He gave us a donation. So he's asking for, you got any best bets for the, I know you're popular on the betting scene.
I bad year this year. I like Indiana to score first is my favorite bet. I would probably buy a point down. I think Indiana at seven is fair. I don't know about 8.5. It's such an odd number. My biggest thing is I don't know how Miami's going to be able to score. Like I just don't see how they're going to be able to score as much. So if their team total is 18.5, I don't know why they would only score 18. I would definitely think that they would score under 20 in this game. And then for Indiana, I think the question is, can they score over a certain amount? Like I love Indiana in the first half. It's -3. Love them to score first. I love Fernando Mendoza more, like maybe for the best prop bet is him over 214 yards passing. Miami has got a really, really good defense, and they have stopped everyone in the ground game. And so I think, you know, Kewon Lacy had a good day like in the box score, but part of that was all one run. So I like that. I think that Indiana will maintain drives and be like kind of some backbreaking drives and win the game for sure. I also love the fact that Hemby kid and then the other running back is like an anytime touchdown. I like all those. So it's about 4 or 5 I would give you, but I think in order, Indiana score first, Indiana first half, Mendoza over 214 yards, and then those two touchdowns if you want to take a flyer on something.
Is Miami good enough to force Indiana into a mistake? Because all I keep hearing about is this old-ass team never makes mistakes.
Dude, you know, they're not even like the top 25 oldest team in the country.
They're old as hell. What about the starters, though?
Hold on. I think the starters, I mean, so here's the thing that no one, well, going into the playoff, nobody was talking about, and I think you saw it on full display against Bama. What makes Indiana so tough is that they don't cuss, for one. They're just good, God-fearing, fucking damn players. What makes them so tough is they don't make mistakes. They do try to make you play left-handed, and they're very good at that. But also, so everyone keeps bringing up this thing, like, are they better than 2019 LSU? And I'm not going to get into any of that until after the game, because I didn't know how sensitive and insecure LSU fans were about that argument. Two, I think that's also a good point, Dylan, about Michael Irvin. I love the meme that somebody said too. It was a picture of Irvin on the ground, like on all fours. And it's like me watching Miami because I got $23 in my FanDuel account on it. So I think what makes Indiana so good, like everyone compares to 2019 LSU. Well, the thing about 2019 LSU was that phenomenal offense, best quarterback season of all time, besides maybe Cam Newton, greatest season of all time, 7 top 10 wins. Like just there's so many things you can't take away from them. That defense was not great for 2019 LSU. A lot of stars, but not a great defense. I think they were like 32nd in the country that year in scoring defense. And so this team, it reminds me a lot more of like 2011 Bama, because what this team does, and I remember watching those games with Bama back then, which is like if they got up by 9 points and it was a true two-score game and you couldn't just have a touchdown, 2-point conversion, like you were up by 2 scores, I don't care if it was the first quarter or fourth quarter, it felt like the game was over. Like there just weren't teams that were going to – I just said something positive about Indiana. I'm telling you positive things about Indiana right now. All I've said is they are going to win the game. How fucking bad is the reading and listening comprehension in this fucking audience today?
Is Cignetti what odds of Cignetti?
Hold on, I'm still on my rant. They remind me of the 2011 Bama team because it's like you've watched this twice in the playoff now, Mike. Against Bama, they were up 10-0, and it was like, oh, shit, that's an uphill battle. When they were up 17-0, there was no one watching that game that felt like, well, Bama's got a chance. Like there was people that were trying to do the whole, well, I mean, they were down 17-0 to Oklahoma, and it was like, shut the fuck up. It's not the same at all. Like, then Oregon, they went up by two scores early, and all I could think about in the second quarter was, they're up by two scores. That means Oregon's going to have to figure out a way to score on them for one, and then stop them from scoring. And Indiana gets the ball back to start the second half. It's like, it felt like the game was over in the second quarter when it was 21-7, because they just they don't make mistakes. They had the best turnover margin in the entire country going into the playoff. That has only excelled and are increased since the playoff has begun. They don't make a lot of penalties. They don't do anything stupid. Like, they don't, there's no wasted movement. They do everything so efficiently. It's really impressive. So yeah, fuck Indiana. Am I right? After all that,
no wasted movement. I've heard that about your lovemaking. But
that's right.
Let me ask you: is Kurt Cignetti going to be the next Alabama coach after DeBoer flames out here?
I wish that would have happened. That would have been awesome.
Because I got a mate in the power rankings.
Can you imagine how mad Bama fans would have been if they hired Kurt Cignetti from JMU?
I've not even had much pushback on Alabama 8th.
Really?
I don't know what to make of them.
I mean, yeah, why is that?
I mean, I was told they had an elite offensive line. Couldn't run
this
the
year?
Ball for shit.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I mean, they have is stars across the board. Left tackle, allegedly the best left tackle ever. The center's all SEC.
His best line. He is. I remember when I used to like actually be in shape in like college and like afterwards, and I would run. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember telling one of my buddies, I was like, if I could just fucking find like a way to race, like running, but in weight classes, I would be the best in like the 200 weight class ever. Like, I was running like a 5:30 mile. That's Caden Proctor playing left tackle. He's not a good left tackle. If you need a left tackle that can catch out of the backfield though, for no fucking reason, that's Caden Proctor, brother. That is just the best.
So what are they? Can they run the ball? Who's the quarterback going to be? I mean, who's their best receiver? Is it Ryan Williams? Or is it Lutzier? I mean,
either way, I think they're going to be fine there. And they also get, they get a couple other guys back, I think, that are going to be, decently keep.
I mean, Ryan Williams was not good this year.
No, he wasn't. I mean, I think that to say that he would be bad for a second straight year would be kind of shocking to me. They also bring in one of the top receivers in the country out of high school as a 5-star. The running back thing is the thing that everyone keeps talking about. I don't think the run game can get worse. And I look at like the talent they have there. Everyone was talking about Hollywood Smothers, how big of a loss it is. They bring in Crowell, who's the number one ranked running back in the country out of high school. You have AK Deer still there. You still have Daniel Hill there. You have Kevin Riley there. I think there's enough talent. I wish they had more depth at receiver. That is a concern for me. I wish they had more depth there. And you look at the schedule here. They got to play Georgia again. Jesus Christ.
I'm seeing about six losses here.
Six losses to who?
Florida State. They can't beat Florida State for some reason. Georgia,
totally.
At Tennessee, mm-hmm. At LSU, mm-hmm. A&M, South Carolina.
I'm glad that you brought up that Carolina one, because I do think Carolina is going to be a lot better than people think. Yeah, sure, Mike. I mean, you've always been able to talk about Alabama with so much objective, unbiased
right.
criticism. So it's like, I see what you're
hey,
saying.
I picked them to win the SEC. They were number one seed. I feel like I nailed it.
Look at you go. I think Bama's going to be better than people think.
How much better? Playoff better, you think?
I think they'll make the playoff, yeah. I think that, like, you're also talking about the fact that everyone...
You must be assuming we're expanding to 24.
Yeah, totally. Keelan Russell is going to be, I think, the starter, and he is going to be very, very good.
Off what? His recruiting ranking?
Yes. And also the limited time we've seen him play from this past year, and I would have to assume, unless he is the biggest miss of all time, but hell, even Jimmy Clausen and guys like that were good, at least in college. If you think Keelan Russell's like a bust, then I mean, sure, maybe.
I'm not saying he's a bust, but
yeah.
When Ty Simpson comes out of the game, who went in?
Austin Mack.
Okay. And how long has he been with DeBoer?
Like 3 years.
I mean, I think there's something there that I don't think we can just write that kid off.
Well, if he's able to beat out somebody like with the talent of Keelan Russell, then by all means, I feel probably even better than I would that I said earlier, because then you have some depth in the quarterback room. I think that the way that people talk about Alabama, it still is very different than they talk about with any other school. We have talked about the portal, how they've swung and missed the portal. It's been so bad. They don't have the NIL. Somebody brought it up earlier. They don't have the NIL.
That was
NIL
you
stuff.
That said that.
Who? Last week? And then they ended up signing like eight dudes.
I know, but you were the one calling about.
They have a top 15 class. And what have they done in recruiting over the past 2 years? Because that to me is like, we sat here forever and talked about, well, there's one thing we know about Kalen DeBoer. It wasn't that he couldn't win big games. It wasn't that he like wasn't going to be a good fit culture-wise. It was, well, he's not going to be able to recruit. And he doesn't understand the Southeast. All this guy has done has brought in like top three classes. And so there's still a boatload of talent. It may just be really, really young. And maybe that is a recipe for disaster in this day and age, where you can be fucking 27 years old, still playing college football. And maybe that won't go over well. I do know that they had one of the best secondaries in the entire fucking country. And they return almost every single key player from there. They are going to get pretty much gutted at linebacker, but I think they got a lot of young talent there. Defensive line and on the offensive line, I don't think the offensive line can get worse. I don't see how that would happen. You bring in Ty Haywood, a former five-star. You still have Michael Carroll, former five-star, that had a lot of play there. I'm not going to sit here and tell you the additions they made in the portal from the defensive line and offensive line are fucking diamonds in the rough. If you're having to go out to Cal Poly to get guys to fill out the class, I don't feel super great about that. But
January 16th, does Kalen DeBoer know the portal is still open?
And then he signed three guys in the next like 4 hours. So okay. After that, I do think that they have a top 15 class right now. And so, and by the way, I have been the fucking good luck charm for every single coach that's gone on a run besides Kiffin in this portal. I made the joke about how South Carolina is one of only two teams that didn't sign anybody on Wednesday, which is a factual statement 2 weeks ago, and they signed 12 in the next 5 days. that tweet about DeBoer, he goes on a run, and they end up getting a bunch of bodies as well. I think the concern there is the depth at receiver. I think if you see freshman year Ryan Williams, which I would assume, I would be much more convinced that we would see that version of him way more than the sophomore version when he was kind of banged up, couldn't really get healthy at times throughout the year, and had all the drops. I don't think you're going to see him continue to fall off. That's just me.
Hey, shout out
this is a good question.
With Dylan, who has the potential to be the biggest surprise in the SEC for better or worse. My money is on Vanderbilt disappearing and Carolina vying for the playoff. So who do you think is the biggest surprise? Good and bad.
Somebody said, Marler, we signed a receiver today. It's not another white guy, is it? Bama goes 8-4, fires. That's another thing, too. If you're an Auburn fan talking about Bama, I'm going to be as blunt as possible. Shut the fuck up. Like, you cannot lose to a team for 6 years, have more fucking new head coaches in a six-year span than Bama has appearances, and then still have the audacity to be like, well, man, Bama's not doing great in the portal. You guys copy and pasted the entire fucking roster from South Florida. Also, you've lost
the Auburn Bulls, baby,
for five straight years. Like, we'll see what happens. Well, the funniest thing that could happen is that Bama goes 2-10, and one of the wins is it's just two wins against Auburn and Florida State. But I think that from a who would be the biggest surprise? Like, I would have to start looking at where teams would rank at the start of the year, and I would. The two that jump out to me the most.
Let's do it based on this.
Based on this, to me, it's South Carolina, and the other one is Kentucky, who you are very low on. I just don't think that you, with what Kentucky has built in the portal, Kentucky signed 29 guys, and I've talked to you about this on this show before with you about how one of the cool things about the NIL era, which is there's very few things about it that are super cool, but one of the cool things about it is, if you have a bunch of change on your roster with a head coach or anything like that, it gives you the opportunity to immediately go to your boosters and say, hey, we think we have the guy. We're not going to make the same mistake as we did with the last guy. He's going to bring in a great staff. He's going to bring in this. We have the facilities to compete, blah, blah, blah. We need you to like help us get there, because we can make this turnaround right away. Here's proof that you can do it right away. Look at what Indiana's done. Worst fucking program in America for years. Came from JMU. They were relevant right away. We think we can go on that run. We need to go get the players to do it. So I don't know what Kentucky has spent on this class. I do know that Kentucky's, by their own admission, had spent $22 million on men's basketball on this year's roster. For football, you have this breath of fresh air that comes in with Will Stein that is not Mark Stoops, not the same old like you've had for the last however many years. And you have seen the investment in right away. They have a top 10 class in the portal. They've signed 29 guys. Of those 29, 20 of them have come from the Power Four. I think 13 or 14 of those have come from SEC schools. They have done really, really well at attacking the portal and getting a lot of guys that I don't think we would have initially thought would have ended up, you know, in Lexington. So I like them. The other one, and you can sit here and call me a homer all you want, what Shane Beamer has done at South Carolina is, what have you done here? This is not what I told you to do with the fucking graphic, Mike. God damn it. That's better, though. That's better. So I don't, why? Okay, we'll talk after this. Why is the, okay. So anyway, with Beamer and what they have done, the retention is the real story of what they were able to keep at South Carolina. The story I kept telling was this. If I talked to Clark Brooks from On3, who's the person who's in charge of all the ranking and evals of every player that enters the portal. I don't know how he does it. That's a crazy amount of work they have to do, but ranking all those players. And so I asked him, like, you know, from South Carolina's standpoint, what do you have? So if Beamer is able to retain some of these guys, if we were talking about some of these other teams, the way we talk about LSU, well, listen, LSU has had, they got Sam Levitt and they were able to get so-and-so out of the portal and sign all these, like, you know, four-star guys. There's like 124 four-stars or better on On3's rankings. I think LSU got 11 of them. But if you start talking about the retention and where those guys would have been ranked if they had entered the portal, and you talk about South Carolina specifically, according to the person who's in charge of making the rankings at On3, Lenore Sellers would have been the two or three ranked player overall behind Sam Levitt and would have been a five-star. Dylan Stewart would have been the number one edge rusher at his position and also would have been a five-star. We've seen where the edge rushers rank in this class, and I believe it's the highest one is Prince Will Uma whatever from Ole Miss, and that guy was ranked number three. You have two five-stars in a class that only has they only have two overall according to On3 right now. I think it's two. When I talked to him, it was two. That means you would have had another two added to it, both from South Carolina. You retained both those guys. You also retained Nick Harbor. You were able to go out and get a lot of offensive linemen. You were able to go get Josiah Thompson back. I think you'll shift him over to right tackle. And you were able to sign what was the number one ranked tackle in the portal from NC State, a kid that's going to be playing on Sundays and a potential first-round draft pick in Jakarius Peak, on top of all of the talent you already have. You are solid in the back seven. You got more depth on the defensive front and the interior defensive line. And, oh, by the way, you have the best defensive player possibly in all of football off the edge in Dylan Stewart. You have a new offensive coordinator who at the very least isn't Mike Shula and should bring in a lot of more excitement and motion and just a lot more, I think, new age and adaptable football than what Mike Shula was fucking doing. And again, it's not Mike Shula. So if you're on the 1 yard line, you're going to be able to run the Norris Sellers and not think that's like illegal to do, I guess. I think South Carolina has a chance to be really, really good next year with this group of talent. And I also think that that Shane Beamer is going to be coaching for his life because he knows it's a make or break year for him. And I think that he has answered every single fucking question that's been put in front of him since the season ended. And he has done a tremendous job of checking all the boxes that he has needed to.
And I don't know if you buy into any of this, but seems like now it's a little bit of a problem because it's inconsistent, but it's kind of like when people are down on Carolina, they exceed expectations. And when people are hyped on Carolina, it doesn't go so well.
Yeah.
At least under Beamer.
Evidenced
by this beautiful graphic. I mean, the 23, that was a big year, 20, you know, 25, of course. So
yeah,
is what it is. Shout out Carl Chuckis. We appreciate you, buddies. The Tennessee fan kind of hate we're losing
cousin Carl
for life. Ooh, and VFL for money. Cheer for these guys and a few more bucks. Now they're at your rivals. Thoughts on that? Are we losing something here? Marler, with these guys getting their bag everywhere.
Is it only happening at Tennessee?
Well, I think this is a sentiment that all college fans can agree with.
That part I agree with. And I think what sucks too is that, like, what used to be really fun, and maybe I'll just give you the example from like Georgia or Bama or sometimes some other schools, like, it was really cool watching the recruiting part of this whole thing be such a big deal, because it was like, oh my God, they got all these five stars. And so, like, when Bama under Saban first made their turn, it was like in 2008, and they had in 2007, they signed the number 10 class, was like 10 four stars. The following year, they had like 23 combined four and five stars. It was Mark Ingram and Julio and Dont'a Hightower and all these other guys. And it was so cool watching them develop. And then a couple of years later, you saw some of the other guys that hadn't developed yet, you know, make a name for themselves and become starters because they'd worked through the program. And you see it with Georgia a lot. You see it with, like, you saw with Tennessee a decent amount. I thought that was one of the cool things about Tennessee, was that Nico sat for a year behind Joe Milton when I think he could have put up similar numbers as a true freshman. And then he gets them to the playoff. And then the greed side of this all reared its ugly head. And I think what's saddest is, that is like the primary example of, there is a fucking travel ball parent that is way too involved in their son's career and life that is saying, no, we can go get more. We can push for more money. And it's like, well, you're already getting enough money. You don't need more money. Like, you're going to be in a great – do you think that Nico is in a better position now at UCLA to get to the pros or when he was at Tennessee? With the talent that he had around him at Tennessee, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and no, he's worse off.
And I think it leads to cool stories like Diego Pavia and like Joey Aguilar, which is like, you know, Joey Aguilar was awesome to watch at times this year. He was fucking great. He was a gunslinger, and he cared about being there, and he played with the chip on his shoulder and all that kind of stuff. But it was at the cost of, well, you lost this five star, so you could have fucking rolled me out there and been like, yeah, I'll give my all for Tennessee today, which I would never say. And then you go out there and then you'd be like, well, yeah, this guy gets it. He's wanting to play for the name on the front of the jersey, not the back, and all that kind of cliche shit. I think Tennessee is kind of gotten the brunt of it, because it's like they've lost some key guys. And Tennessee used to be a place that, and if you're young, you don't remember this, but Tennessee used to be a place where you had a national footprint in recruiting. They recruited the hell out of California for years and years and years. And the state of Alabama and Georgia and all that kind of stuff. And now it's just kind of frustrating, because it's like, that's a special place. Like that is a iconic scene in like, that is woven into the fucking fabric of college football and the SEC and being able to get on the river and tailgate there. And these, you know, the beautiful scene you see every, like, late in the fall, Saturdays, like it's gorgeous. And it's a program that has a ton of pride and a fan base and donorship that is like all in on wanting to get back to, like, you know, feels like 98 again, all that kind of shit. I think that it's frustrating if you're Tennessee, because it's like you feel helpless because you did shell out $8 million for Nico. You gave the kid what he wanted. You were ahead of the curve. Like, there weren't other teams that were giving 3-year deals for $8 million. You were the first, and people laughed at it. And it turns out that kid was an asshole and decided to leave. I just spit all over my mic. Some of you guys get it. I'm sure you do the same thing, but on other stuff. So I think him being like the worst possible guy you could have landed because of the greed that he clearly showed, that part sucks. But this is not a thing that's like, well, I mean, dude, Tennessee has signed California quarterbacks and players from outside of this region forever. And they love Tennessee. And I think that now it's just kind of weird because they are, it almost feels like an afterthought. I also kind of think too, Mike, if we're being honest, part of the issue too is everyone's looking at Tennessee and we're now being this prisoner of the moment of, well, they didn't sign anybody in the portal. They only brought in 18 guys. And I heard somebody talk about this last week, and they were like, you know, it's a real question of quarterback. Who's going to play if Joey Aguilar's gone? And I was like, was that, is that George McIntyre there? Worst fucking name ever. And they were like, yeah. And I was like, he's a former five-star, right? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, is Faison Brandon next year? Is he there now? They're like, no, he's on campus. And I'm like, so you signed the number one player in the country for in some outlets and recruiting services, and he's on campus. So, like, I will tell you right now, I don't think the sky is falling for Tennessee. I think a lot of this is that we are becoming a prisoner of the moment and putting all of our stock into, well, if you don't have a good portal class, you're fucked. And I think there's probably some truth to that, but there's also two things to be true at the same time, because finding like the delicate balance of, well, we've had a really good recruiting class and we've also had a good portal class is where you want to live. Everyone's talking about Bama, right? Like everyone's talking about Bama. Ole Miss was really, really good at the portal part, and they were really average at signing high school kids. Bama's been kind of the opposite of that. Tennessee is a class I feel like that kind of is in that same boat, and they have a lot of talent on campus. They might just be really young, but like the receiver group is going to be really good. You know, the offense is going to put up a lot of fucking points. I think also if you're Tennessee, you're just like, hey, can we just not fucking give up 30 points a game? Because if we can do that, maybe now that I'm talking about it, Tennessee should have been one of the teams that we are talking about as a sleeper for next year, because I don't know if you guys have watched Jim Knowles as a defensive coordinator, but he's really fucking good. And the talent that they have there, they signed Chaz Coleman. We're getting too wrapped up in, well, they didn't go get a transfer portal quarterback. They didn't go outspend this person. They lost all these other players. And I think part of that can be frustrating. But, and you know, I don't like to be nice to Tennessee fans, but I would tell you, the sky is not falling in Knoxville. Like there's a lot of pieces in place for them to be really good and really good right away. I need to wash my mouth out after that.
Yeah, you almost brought a tear to my eye with all that Tennessee nostalgia that you're spewing there, so much so that you're spitting on the mic. Shout out
to hot, huh?
Cox Panther says Marler Hawk to a moment right there. But and you said all those things, and I don't disagree with anything you just said. Also, they re-signed Arion Carter, outstanding linebacker, who he declared, and then it's funny how that happens, but right before the deadline, he jumped into the portal, right? So, yeah. And he was likely headed to Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss. I think Miami and Texas were also, it's not like he was going to Southern Miss or anything if he left. So that was a big, big win for Tennessee.
I mean, the thing with this is too, is that like, I do think there is going to be, the bubble has to burst at some point. I would imagine we're not going to continue to see people spend this much money. I will tell you right now, I've talked to boosters that are people that are involved in Baton Rouge here that are like, I jokingly mentioned, I was like, it's like money's not real. And he's like, I assure you it's real. I assure you the money part of this is real. And if you think that you're going to be able to go do this over and over and over again, like the key to, I think, winning is either going to be one of two things. You either fucking go all in 1 year and do like outspend everybody and hope that translates into you getting the right guys in place and then being really, really good. Or you go and you figure out a way to say, hey, we're going to spend this amount of money and be really good with who we want to go get and who we're going to pitch. Because the terrifying part is if you go spend like Texas Tech spent this year, like imagine if LSU, I don't feel like I'm wrong when I say this. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I there's no way they're under 30 million in this class. If they get Seton, for sure. But if you are LSU and you go outspend everyone or all these people and you don't win, how do you go back to the boosters the following year and be like, hey, I always say it's the Batman, like the Joker walking out of the hospital in Dark Knight meme where he's like, hi, sorry, like spend all your money that you asked for. And now you'll have two, Mike, you'll have guys that are boosters that you will say, like you'll go up to whether you're a coach or staff and be like, hey, there's this guy we really want to get. We're really high on him. We think he'd be great. And if you can donate this much money, we can go get him. And so you have them inadvertently buying players exactly like you did in the 80s, where you had individual boosters in charge of paying for individual players. And that's how it's positioned, because it gives them like a point of pride of like, I went out and got this guy. I'm so important to the team, blah, blah. And then that person doesn't play, or God forbid somebody gets paid $4 million and gets injured. Like, that's when I think you're going to see all of this rethought. And I don't want to see anybody get injured or anything like that. But at some point, there's something has to break where you're like, okay, stop fucking spending this much money. And if you're not going to win, because is it really worth it?
Yeah, well, and you said, you know, who can do that? Spend all the money and then... Yeah. ask for it again. Well, LSU did, right? But
yeah,
those are different circumstances because they essentially had to fire everybody to get there. But you made me think. And
Jay Paul,
I have tried to say this, but even I forget it from time to time. Of all the things that have happened to Ole Miss over the last year,
yeah,
I think that's the biggest storyline that people miss is the fact that they went all in on 24.
Right.
And they whiffed big time. That team, I mean, we'll never know, but I think they legitimately could have won the national championship.
I do too.
And they didn't even make the damn playoff. So to go back to those fans and the NIL collective and say, shit, we need money again and probably more money. And we just fucking whiffed and they gave them the money and they nearly, I think a lesser team nearly won the national championship.
Oh, there's no way they spent as much though this year versus last.
Right. But there's no way in hell they were not spending top tier money. I wouldn't think. I mean, also
what's interesting, Trinidad is, he was getting 600,000. I know it's between 300,000 and 600,000. I want to say it's 300,000.
Right. But I think Austin Simmons was making like 3 million.
So that's one of the reasons I laugh too. It's like Lane's trying to ruin everything by saying he's leaking out the payments. I will tell you right now, as somebody that played in a sport in college, that shit would have been the first thing that brought division to everyone. And if you think it took Lane Kiffin posting what is fake numbers, which I guarantee you, one, if they were posted, they weren't fake. Two, I don't think he would have done it because he would have fucking posted it everywhere because he's that much of a dick. But also, I think that, like, if you don't think that people already knew about that and it's public knowledge, you're wrong. Like, that is one of the things. I'm surprised we haven't seen more division and frustration amongst teams because of it. And they're like, that speaks to a lot of the character about Austin Simmons. It probably helped that he was getting $3 million. But I think that is a really good point. I think the other part of it too, for Ole Miss specifically in this case, is what I brought up earlier and alluded at the start of the show 3 hours ago when I started talking was the Will Stein thing about how it's like, hey, we get some, a breath of fresh air. We're like really pumped. Like, we think we can do this. This is one of the best things that could have happened to Ole Miss in terms of raising money for their NIL, because if you're able to keep the ship afloat, And sure, they might be overpaying. If they're paying $2.5 million for Kewon Lacy, and we look at that and say that that's overpaying, well, Justice Haynes got two at Georgia Tech. A couple years ago, Quinshon got $1 million, and the other kid got $1 million at Ohio State. But maybe that's the new market price now. He's the best running back in the country. But if you're able to go to your booster and say, we're not going to have this thing fucking stop. Like, we're just because Lane's gone doesn't mean we're going to stop. We're hungrier than ever to go win, and we want to prove a fucking point. And that's Ole Miss. That was like, and we talk about like winning the breakup. I mean, that was losing Kiffin was like the fucking Ozempic or steroids, however you want to look at it, of them trying to get their beach bod just to prove a point to their ex. Like, it's been great for them.
And now you finally come around to how Ole Miss is number one.
I don't think they're gonna be number one. That's, I think they're gonna be really good though. I honestly think that they're gonna be really good. I think Trinidad has to be there for them to be really, really good. Mm-hmm. But I'm assuming
he is with that ranking.
I don't know why he would stay though. He is. I think he wins his case, and I think like the NCAA is just such a bunch of whatever. We've already cussed enough. They're such a bunch of fucking spineless pussies that they're not going to end up like doing anything that like stands up to. Like they push people around, then somebody like rears back and they're like, stop. Like, that's the NCAA. So I think that if they want to get him to play, he will play. And I think part of the thing is you're costing him millions in NIL money. It could be up to $6.5 million in his contract. And I think that all that was probably put in the contract to go along to, just in case this was going to happen. It's going to be presented in front of a judge in the state of Mississippi. Tom Mars is the head attorney. I have no doubt that they're going to win that case, despite losing it four times already. My question for him is like, well, man, like your stock is never going to be higher than it is right now. If you are the number two or three quarterback drafted, based off of every single mock draft we have seen, that puts you at no worse than like 20th in the what do you call it on the big board, and the cutoff for the what do you call it? The salary.
I don't think he's anywhere near that though. I really don't in terms of draft grade. I think he's too small.
He is very small.
That's all they care about is like basically how your size.
Yeah. If Trinidad Chambliss was 6'4", 220, that he would have been, they wouldn't have let him play the rest of the season. They would have, the Jets would have asked him to start playing in December.
Hey, shout out, Steve it up. He gave us $10. Here's for another line for you, Marler.
Mike doesn't give me any of this money, guys, at all.
In fact, he pays to be here.
Yeah. There it is.
But shout out to Cousin Bo. I had the comment up forever, but he said I'd rather be the retention king than the portal kink. He meant portal king. But I think that is... I think that's a fair assessment, and the rankings are not going to reflect that, right?
I mean, I think it's there's a lot of what do you call it? Are you talking about your power rankings?
No. He just said I would rather be the retention king than the portal king, because if you're retaining, that means probably your roster's pretty sought after.
Yeah,
you got the money to keep them. And here's a crazy idea I had today on my daily walk. I go on daily walks. I think about college football, you know.
That's hot.
And I don't know that there's a fix to any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Because of the lawsuits and everything. But would you be on board with this? And I have no idea if this is something they could ever feasibly do. But cap how much you can spend in the portal and then your retention... totally uncapped. Would you be on board with that? That way, all the players, you're free to leave whenever you want. We can't stop you, but there's not as much money out there. There's more money to stay, build chemistry, develop, you know, with the coaches and your position coaches and yada, yada, yada. Like, yeah. I think that's a win-win for everybody.
I don't know how they enforce that. I think it's a bad idea. How high were you on this walk?
Oh, no, I'm sober as a judge, man.
It's like a cousin walk at Thanksgiving where you go smoke weed with your cousins.
No, I take my dog to the park every day.
That's what I was supposed to be doing until I forgot I was supposed to be on the show. We were literally getting ready to leave, and then you sent that text, and you were like, are you alive? And I was like, fuck! what? Oklahoma hired Brock Lesnar?
That can't be real.
Is that real?
I'll look it up, but I don't trust the cousins for much these days.
Definitely not money to buy cocaine.
We'll send it to you. Okay, if you promise to buy drugs, I'll send you that money.
Just reverse homeless person. I'll give you this, but only if you promise to buy some drugs and continue to ruin your life. Yes, thank you. I don't see anything about Brock Lesnar in Oklahoma. I see a lot of videos. But hey, are you on Twitter right now? You.
Yes, sir.
Are you on Twitter right now? Search Derrick Henry's name real quick. Just tell me the first thing that comes up. And now everyone do the same.
Okay. Derrick Henry. Oh, God. No. Why would you do that?
Why is that up there?
I don't know, but I quickly got off air.
Mike, I searched for him because somebody was like, it was his name.
Why are you searching Derrick Henry on a random January 19th?
I thought that he had retired because I saw several things that were like about... like his name, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, did he retire? He's only been in the league for like 10 years. Like, that would suck. And so I typed in Derrick Henry. I spelled it right. I went, and then the first thing I see is that dude and his huge dick. And I was like, what? Why is this? I was, Mike, when I tell you, I was so concerned that it was my own algorithm that led me there and not something bad. I was, I searched Chris Marler, but nothing but rainbow flags came up. Like, are you saying because like I'm gay?
No, you just like rainbow. You like Hawaii.
You're saying you searched my name and then just a bunch of images of gay flags came up.
I mean, that's believable.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's a good joke, Mike. You laughing at that really fucking dampened me going back at the heckler. That really, you really fucked that up for me. No, I don't know if there's, I won't be watching. You're not going to watch the game tonight?
We're going to be doing a watch party. So I hope just hang out with us. You don't have to watch a game.
Well, I love to watch. So, I think this has been entertaining to listen during my nap. You listen during your nap? How? Anyway, well, I think that's about it for today. I need to go walk the dog as well. And,
Have you been? You told me you were at the gym the other day. Have you been losing weight or gaining?
No,
or?
I think I'm in a bad spot. I think I'm only gaining, and it's not muscle. But no, I haven't gone to the gym a lot. I've been getting up and going on my walks too. I call them fat girl walks because they have like a hot girl walk, so I call them my fat girl walk. But yeah, I've been doing it, and we've been trying to. I'm telling you right now, man. The thing, this state is so there's nothing conducive about living in Louisiana if you want to lose weight. It's like. You know when you like make like a New Year's resolution in like almost any fucking normal place in America, and you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm not fucking as big as Shane, so you can calm down on that, dickhead. That's a lot. So I love Shane, but fuck off. So I was like going to what was it? It was I was like, you know, going to the gym like New Year's Day thing, and it was like, you know, you expect to see all these people. That are like, you know, crowded in the gym because they've all made these New Year's resolutions, and like January is like the busiest month in the gym, and it's chaos every time you go there. That's the case in every state I've ever lived in except for here. Here, people are like still wearing beads from a Mardi Gras fucking parade that just came in for a quick ride on the elliptical. Like it's just the moment that New Year starts, everyone keeps drinking because Mardi Gras season starts on January 6th. So it's crazy.
Shout out Carl. He says, congrats, Marler, on getting married. And no longer living in sin.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate that. And keep your head up about Tennessee, man. I don't think it's going to be that bad. I really don't.
The black shirt's thinning, according to Stephen.
You want me to take it off?
Nope.
I'm not, I haven't like put on a bunch of weight or anything. I've probably lost like, I don't know, 4 pounds. It's not nothing to fucking write home about yet.
It was a big old
donut
dooser.
Shop called the gym. dude, you fucking killing some jokes, dude. That's awesome. Awesome. You're like a fucking Dilbert t-shirt from like 1996. These are fantastic, man. I feel like you're a literal Bart Simpson meme that came to life with some of these really, really good roasts that you're throwing out there.
All right, hey, I think that's a great place to end it. You got any anything
Wait,
to plug?
This guy didn't get Derrick Henry? Everyone look up Derrick Henry. Everyone.
Don't do it. Trust me, don't do it.
Huge dick. All right, that's all.
All right, hey, we'll be back. Watch party tonight, 7:30.
I have to take one now. That's why I have to go. I gotta go. All right, love you all.
Bye-bye. We'll be back 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. And I'll be on Feinbaum here in 2 hours. So 5 Eastern, 4 Central. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.